be talking about cattle dung, so thank you again for joining me. I will refer to Musca autumnalis by its common name, face flies, and as their name implies, you can find face flies on the face of cattle in pastures, especially particularly around the eyes, nose, and mouths. They are associated with direct effects, being that in large numbers, they can cause stress on the cow, leading to a decrease in grazing time, milk production, and overall development. They are also associated with indirect effects, being that they can transmit the causative agents of ocular diseases such as pink eye. And pink eye is caused by the bacteria Moraxella bovis. They can also vector eye worms of the Thalassia species. A little bit about their biology. The life cycle starts off when female face flies lay eggs in cattle dung. Here's the dung and here are the eggs. And so from the eggs, you have three larval instars, followed by the pupa stage and the adult stage. These are pests, so the current control methods involves insecticides and intestinal parasite medications, such as ivermectins. These can pass through the cattle, making the dung uninhabitable by dung-breeding insects. And the problems associated with these methods are that face flies can build resistance. You can have non-target effects, and they can be potentially harmful to the humans and in the environment. And so the alternative to these methods is to use natural enemies such as predators or parasites. And one parasite that infects face flies is Parentochium autumnale, which is a nematode, or commonly known as roundworms. And so they have a complex alternating gamogenetic and parthenogenetic generations, and the initial invasion of hosts takes place in the dung by nematodes deposited by previously infected female flies. I'm going to show you how this happens. So while healthy female flies lay eggs in dung, infected female flies would lay nematodes, and these nematodes mate in the dung. From the egg you have the first instar, and these mated female nematodes will search for a host and invade, and it is known in the literature that these nematodes will invade all three instars. But one of my questions is there an instar in which the nematode has an increased chance of completing its life cycle, or is there one that they prefer more? Well, the third instar will continue with this life cycle, followed by the pupa stage. The next two stages in the nematode's life cycle will take place within the host. The females that just invaded will molt and sexually mature. And then from the pupa stage, you have the adult stage. And within the adult stage, the females produce a parthenogenetic generation that gives rise to a gamogenetic, or a sexually reproducing generation. And it is these nematodes that will invade the females' reproductive system, which will render the female sterile, because instead of laying more eggs, she'll lay more nematodes, which are the nematodes initially deposited in the dung. And this is just a picture of the difference between healthy and uninfected flies, and infected flies. So over here to your left you see ovaries from a healthy female fly, and to your right you see ovaries from an infected fly, and you see that they're filled with thousands of nematodes. So this is great, because these nematodes have been recognized as a great potential biological control because of the sterilization effect. So instead of the female laying more eggs, she'll end up laying more nematodes. But does P. autumnale really reduce host fly populations? So they did a study in Northern California during the late 1970s, and they found a nematode incidence of about 4 to 30%. And at these levels of infection might not be effective to cause a really large decrease in the fly population. So my question here is, what is limiting the prevalence of nematodes in wild populations? And my approach to answering this question is to identify factors regulating host-parasite interactions in natural populations. And I will look at abiotic and biotic factors, host attraction, and host acceptance. But right now, I will only focus on how I developed a method in observing and measuring host attraction. Some of you might know this, maybe not, but trying to observe an interaction between two organisms, one being maybe half a millimeter and the other one being maybe like a couple centimeters in dung, is really difficult. So I had to figure out a way in which I can observe this in somewhat of a more clear medium. And so what I did was I got a 35 millimeter petri dish and I drew concentric circles at 5 millimeters apart, and I filled it with 1% agar mixed with dung, and I put a mesh tube in which I'll explain that in a moment, and I applied 10 mated female nematodes. As I explained before, it is the mated females that is the infective stage, and I put in a second instar maggot in the tube to try to confine it with host and some dung in it too. So the control for this assay was the tube was only the dung, and the treatment was dung and the maggot. And so this is what happened. There was no real significant difference between the nematodes. Oh, here is time, 10 minutes, and this is the average distance traveled by the nematodes. And there was no clear difference between the number of nematodes that traveled from the center towards the queue. And one explanation for this is that because the nematodes are used to being in dung and they're exposed to dung in the cylinder, that they would have probably moved towards the dung because it was so overpowering. And so those were just preliminary results. And so what's next? I aim to increase the sample size. One of the limiting factors of this experiment was that I ran out of nematodes. It is difficult. I'm having problems trying to rear infected flies. So that's one of the goals. And I aim to improve the assay. And as I mentioned before, the control was the dish with just the dung. And I should have done a control with no dung whatsoever and just have the nematodes there and see if they would have moved as well. And eventually, I will measure host attraction and infection with different instars. I only use the second instars. And in summary, you have a complicated host parasite life cycle, and population, 5 population controls required, increased prevalence of infection, and identifying factors regulating host parasite interactions will aid in this pursuit. And I thank the following people, and especially members of the Lubith Lab. You know who your true lab mates are when they agree to collect dung with you at 8 a.m. in the morning. So thank you very much. Question was if I moved the trap around the dish for different assays. And no, I just kept the trap in one location at the tip, at the very edge of the dish. Yes?
Are there any other arthropods or anything attracted to dung that are also interacting with the treatment?
Like, are there beetles or anything like that that might be in the nematodes? The question was, are there other insects associated with dung that might be attracted?
That might be eating the nematodes.
I think also that might be a possibility. And there's also mites as well too. So there's also all sorts of things in dung, and that could be true, that there are other organisms in the dung that are preying upon the nematodes.
Thank you.